Good afternoon. This is TRSI. I am Gary Kavanagh, and I am here today with my friend and colleague, Michael Dwyer. I know we said there would be no show this week as we will be away, which didn't stop some of you complaining to me that there hadn't been a show. I'd like to point out that if you hadn't heard us say in the last show that there would not be a show, seems an odd thing to be complaining of.
Because that meant they weren't listening, Gary, and therefore they have no standing, as in court, to make complaints like that.
Pearls before swine, Michael. Pearls before swine. But we thought, you know, actually there was a point that a couple of people raised about the last episode, which made sense and which was sort of time sensitive. So we thought we would come back and do kind of a short show on it. And you will get your normal show on Sunday. Don't worry, this isn't a replacement. This is an addition.
This is a treat.
Yes. And a amuse-bouche. So in the last show, we had been talking about Harris, Simon Harris, what he's likely to do when he comes in, how difficult he'll be to predict, and some of the different views that are being put forward as to when he should hold the election, because it will ultimately be his choice. Well, you know, once he's voted in as Taoiseach, it's his choice. And a couple of people asked, well, you described it as a coronation, you said it was just going to happen, but is that so certain? It doesn't have to be that certain. Talk about how Fine Gael can play this to their advantage. But Michael, I think, yes. Let us talk about how Fianna Fáil could play this to their advantage, while also listening to proviso that under Martin, they won't.
I would say under Martin, they won't. The question will be, to what extent Martin matters? To what extent Micheál might have come to the end of a certain kind of road? I think this is also happening, let's face it, Gary, in the consequence that we have become aware that some Fianna Fáilers, whatever their ultimate action might be, whether or not they decide to demonstrate a testicular fortitude which had previously been absent, have been looking at the numbers and have worked out certain things. Now, I would say the first thing we should point out is, and this is, I think, fairly widely accepted, that within the broad sweep of the parliamentary party, there is somewhere between a mixture of discomfort, embarrassment, and pure mule shame that, having previously brought down the government on the basis of a confidence motion resulting from the incompetence of the health minister, then known as Simon Harris, they are now going to go through the lobbies not that much time later and say, okay, we don't think that he was doing a great job as Minister for Health. In fact, he was doing such a bad job as Minister for Health, we're going to take the government down. Now we're going to vote for him to be Taoiseach because we think he's come along. He's learnt a lot of lessons. He's such a good guy. Fine Gael have nobody else who wants or can be leader, so he's going to be leader, and that's the real reason we have to vote for him. And we're going to vote for him on that basis. And that is generating a real sense of kind of discomfort, a lot of shifting in chairs, a lot of not maintaining eye contact when asked this kind of question. So that's the departure point. Then the numbers come in, Gary.
And the numbers are pretty brutal. That's the wonderful thing about numbers, Michael. They're the essence of politics. When Fine Gael came out saying some very unfriendly things about Georgia Maloney, we said they probably shouldn't say those, because looking ahead, Maloney's party, the ECR, is likely to be a very important part of the EPP's plans for the future of the European Parliament. And given the Fine Gael are in the EPP, saying nasty things about them now could mean in a year you're having to go, well,
yeah,
I said they were fascists then, but actually in review, they're quite lovely people, perfectly capable of governing with us.
Yeah, the very funny thing about that is that right now, from word circulating around that centrifuge of information that is Brussels, the Georgia Maloney's party turns out is actually far more important to the EPP potentially than Fine Gael is. Because Fine Gael is not at the moment being seen in the highest of regard and the best of orders by a number of people in the EPP. They don't seem to think that they're very Christian Democrat at all, even though, of course, they are Christian Democrat because somebody told us they were. And they're members of the EPP, so they must be. So it's a funny old way that history works.
A couple of Fianna Fáilers have talked about what I think is actually the best strategic play here. But they're only talking about it individually because the leadership level, it's just not going to happen. It's too, I was going to say avant-garde, but no, it's not avant-garde. It's just a bit too much will to do it than Martin has shown. And I suppose, Michael, before we get into what they're actually talking about, very, very quietly, and with absolutely no indication that they'll actually do it, because to not be unkind to Fianna Fáil, Michael, but if I had to describe it as one thing, I would say describe it as a party of people who've entirely lost their balls.
Well, I was going to say that my description of this move, rather than avant-garde, would have been ballsy. So therefore, I suppose, if we want to continue on with that particular metaphor or analogy, then yeah, that works.
So here's just some assumptions we're working on here when we talk about this. Simon Harris, if he gets in to Taoiseach's office, is going to seek to increase his own prestige and the prestige of his party to drive up votes. I mean, that seems self-explanatory, but it's an important point. He is going to do that by refocusing and re-hardening on areas like crime, immigration, small business, standard Fine Gael issues, but very importantly, also issues where voters have been drawn to Sinn Féin and the independents, and a lot of those were Fianna Fáil voters, not originally Fine Gael voters. He will then do this while keeping an eye to create a situation where he can call an election at the time that best suits him. I saw the Irish Times, Michael, had an article, and it was something like, Harris pledges that the government will run its full term. And then when you look at what it actually said, it's like, I would like to run the full term. That is my intention.
Okay, but even before we get there, just to clarify, because I think a lot of people don't understand quite how it is. There are 160 TDs in the Dáil. The government has 80. The opposition has 79. So it is actually, even though nothing has ever felt like a moment of crisis the way that regularly in the last number of years Tory governments did, which had much bigger majorities because there was the fear of a backbench Berlin. But it's the numbers that create the opportunity or indeed the problem, because as it stands, all but I think one of the independents, who constitute a large part of the opposition, have said that they are going to vote against Harris, right? Now, obviously, all the other parties like the People Before Profit, Sinn Féin, the Labour Party, Social Democrats, etc., won't vote for him. So, the numbers are there that mean it doesn't even have to be a party. It doesn't have to be the party. Just has to be a few brave, solitary souls ploughing their own furrow, Gary, following their own consciences. And poor old Simon gets the shaft. So, so what is the prospect? Why might some of these brave souls, you're saying, Simon is following, well, he doesn't actually have to do anything, does he? But because it's very hard for him to do anything within this time frame.
Yeah, so Simon will get some level of bounce just from being a new person, cleans out the cabinet. Simon Coveney is gone. Simon Coveney has graciously left the stage before being pushed.
Okay.
Helen McEntee looks like she's out of justice, because if you're going to run and as you said, Michael, you're not going to have a lot of time. You're going to have to do things that make people feel you are taking something seriously.
Yes.
And Helen McEntee in justice is not that. That's just not it.
Just not.
So he will have something from that. There are a couple of large things they could do, which would have an impact, mostly on just giving a sense of what the government is and getting them into a position where they can go for election and drive themselves up from where they are now by going into that Sinn Féin independent pool, maybe drawing back some disaffected Fine Gaelers who are disappointed with Varadkar. The problem then is from the perspective of Fianna Fáil, what that creates for you. Micheál Martin is not an agent of growth. Micheál Martin is an agent of managed decline. So maybe you go up, most likely you don't. It's hard to see what new thing Micheál Martin is going to do that could lift you up other than the party coming up in the polls just because the government, as in Fine Gael, starts doing better.
Yeah.
So there's no real advantage to Fianna Fáil to have this run on other than just a vague hope that Fine Gael drags you up with them. So a Harris Taoiseach, I think, is very dangerous to Fianna Fáil. If he can properly embed, if he can properly represent things, then he can draw, I think, a lot of people who would have been traditionally Fianna Fáil votes, which creates an interesting situation where probably the best move for Fianna Fáil as a party, as opposed to a vehicle for Micheál Martin, is to take out Harris at the vote, to refuse to allow him to become Taoiseach on the basis that he's incompetent, and that he's so incompetent, he brought down the last government, and that you'll be damned if you're going to do it again.
Yeah, and I think, again, there's a point worth making, just a slightly technical point about the numbers. If we allow at the moment that Fine Gael are running, we call it 20%, right? Imagine we're the Fine Gael are running at 20% of the polls and Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are running at 16. Now, even in the face of those numbers where Fine Gael are ahead, a little bit ahead of Fianna Fáil, right? There is within Fine Gael right now, and has been for a while, a kind of a sense of doom that outside of Dublin, that they were just going to get murdified. We have said before, that's a possibility. That's a real possibility. They have been tied to a lot of the green policies, which are outside of the cities are seen as being anti-country, anti-agriculture. And therefore, potentially, even though Fianna Fáil might do slightly worse, because they have the incumbents and Fine Gael lack the incumbents, that'll lead to a depressing effect on the vote. That in the end, it could end up the Fine Gaelers being eliminated will end up voting Fianna Fáilers who might, in other circumstances, not be elected. If we get a Harris bounce, Gary, right? Say he comes out and he says all sorts of lovely things. For example, I am confidently expecting we will hear some very strong language about crime.
We've already started to hear some very strong language about crime. And it's strongly suspected that at the Ardèche that's happening this weekend, there's going to be further announcements on crime. They've clearly recognised that as an issue they're weak in.
We're hearing words about building a prison, Gary.
Things that sound like perhaps people shouldn't be getting bail. Like, out there stuff.
It's old-fashioned Fine Gael law and order stuff, which I think there's a hunger for. I think we're going to start hearing all sorts of new language about borders and migration. We may even see the odd large plane being chartered and some young men from Georgia being advised the time has come back to go back to Georgia. So there are things he can do that will be performative, but will send a message, and a message I think that there's going to be a considerable appetite for. So, and on top of that, they'll get a bounce. The problem for Fianna Fáil is that if that gap between the two starts to really grow, then instead of being Fianna Fáil benefiting from a problem that Fine Gael is experiencing at the local level, say because of incumbency or whatever, if that gap starts to grow and the Fine Gaelers, because even if every election is local, if there's a strong wind blowing at a national level, it's very hard to resist it. So if Fine Gael starts to do better and starts to widen that gap, that means that the Fine Gaelers are going to be the ones who are going to be ahead in the first preference, and it'll be the Fianna Fáilers who are going to be staring down the barrel of elimination to elect the Fine Gaelers. And there are a lot of guys out there whose seats are far from safe. I mean, they're okay, but they're not doing brilliant. And what they are going to be asked to do, it seems to me, Gary, is simply this. They're being told, okay, we're going to be the responsible people. We're going to make sure that this government continues all the way down to the end. But there's two things, Gary, what are there not? First of all the way down to the end is probably not much more than 7 months. And what guarantee do they have in Fianna Fáil that Harris doesn't throw in a month of pyrotechnics and then goes and runs for the country? Maybe. I mean, it seems bizarre to me. You I think it's more possible than I do. But goes for the country in June. What does that do for Fianna Fáil? Or more to the point, for the Fianna Fáil TD, who doesn't really give a damn about what Micheál Martin does or doesn't want. But he wants to keep his seat.
Here's what I would say on that, on whether or not I think it's more likely. Harris is very difficult to predict. I think his incentives have changed. Now he's Taoiseach. I don't think you can go on a lot of his past behaviour. I know certain parties are advising him that is what he should do. And to be honest, if I was advising him myself, that is probably what I would advise him to do. To go in, make some broad spectacles, to use the fact that so many of your TDs are not sitting to hide the fact that you are starting to very aggressively go through selection processes and pushing new candidates out all across the country.
Yeah.
To basically try and mitigate the fact that you're going to have a bad day because so many of your people aren't running again. Keep it going, say the right words, and then at the lowest, at the smallest amount of distance that you legally have to notify people, pull the election out from under them. Basically to bring them down and to ameliorate some of your issues. So that's 3 weeks. So the thing there is that if Harris listens to the people who are saying that, and he's capable of it, Fianna Fáil will not know a moment of peace until the actual election, because he can do it at any time. He can just go to the president and seek the dissolution of the government.
Yeah, absolutely. And you said he's and the core of that is he is unpredictable. I don't think that they really will have a strong sense of this man to any great degree more than the people outside. I think that he's going to be unpredictable, and that's going to be deeply uncomfortable for them.
No, I mean, then you also have, if we look at Sinn Féin, in the week since the referendum, Sinn Féin has come out and said it will not run the referendum again, despite the fact it said so. It has come out against the hate speech laws. It has come out against the EU migration pact on the ground of national sovereignty. There was talk of repatriating failed asylum seekers. Now, they did that in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Because they obviously looked at that and went, we were told that was going to be popular. The people who told us that was going to be popular, what else have they told us was going to be popular?
Sinn Féin have been learning all sorts of new words. I mean, it's really, it's impressive language apprehension.
But that's the other thing. And this affects both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Sinn Féin are well organised and they're willing to make these movements. If they think something is unpopular, they will go against it. So Sinn Féin are on a downswing now from the heights they had gotten. If you give Sinn Féin 7 months, do you really believe they're not going to try and improve that? And that they don't have the capability to do that. So then, if you're advising Harris, it's like, no, do it now. Do not give them time to get better. The problem there is that Fianna Fáil, if that is what Harris does, Fianna Fáil will then go into the election, having allowed Harris to strengthen themselves, to get people in to replace some of the people they're going to lose, having chosen the moment explicitly that he thinks is beneficial to him, which will not be the moment that's beneficial to Fianna Fáil, and where you have just voted him in as Taoiseach.
Yeah. You voted him in as Taoiseach, and the only excuse you have for doing that is your desire for stability and to make sure that this government goes to the full extent of its term. You do that, and then bang, 2 months later, you're called. He's called an election. You look like a double idiot. You're an idiot for voting for the man that you said was incompetent to be a minister and therefore brought the government down, and you're an idiot because you said the government was going to last the full of its term and go into March. And here you are in June of the previous year and you're getting an election because you didn't realise this man was going to do it. It's not a good look. And we know that there are a number of TDs out there who are looking at this. Also, there are a number of TDs out there who are just, frankly, cranky and pissed off and fed up with Martin and fed up with managed decline and fed up with the idea that they have to be a fundamentally centre-left progressive party which disrespects and dislikes its own membership in a desperate attempt to get Social Democrats to vote for them, who will never vote for them, Gary. And they're thinking, you know what? let's just bring this debacle to an end. But the point you made, I absolutely agree, and this is the point I've been made for a long time. Sinn Féin, two things. First of all, you cannot assume that Sinn Féin are going to keep going down. I absolutely don't think that they will. They may trend down for another little while. But yes, you're right. They have shown a capacity to turn around, to recognise where politically they've got things wrong, where their voters are not, and they are, and they're going to rectify that. So if that capacity means, to me, strongly indicates that they're going to stabilise. And maybe not just stabilise. Secondly, even those votes that they have lost. A lot of the commentators are talking about that, Gary, as if those votes are gone away forever. They were up at 36-37%, now they're down to 25%, right? So that's, say, a 12% loss. But those votes aren't lost. If the election happens and there is no other alternative, The for a lot of those former Sinn Féin voters will become Sinn Féin voters again because that's who they'll go back to. They want to vote for someone, and they'll go back to Sinn Féin, maybe grudgingly, but it doesn't matter if they end up voting for them. So if you can get Sinn Féin when they're still a little bit destabilised, where they still have a bit of a problem, where they're still potentially a downswing, that would seem to me to be the single strongest argument for going, why give them time to reassess, to stabilise, and then to eventually, potentially start going forward again.
No, and what is interesting here is that Sinn Féin have changed. Fine Gael will now have changed. Harris is saying different things. The only people who haven't seemed to react to the referendum defeat at all or had any period of reflection are the Greens and Fianna Fáil. And frankly, it doesn't really matter to the Greens because their voters fell a particular way. But if you remember, Michael, what we saw from some of the polling there, Fianna Fáil voters did not align with the party at all.
Not at all. And I think it's curious to see that we've had comments from senior, old, shall we say, party members, TDs, saying, come on, lads, can we cop ourselves on? And but at the level of the front bench and the leadership, no, there has been. And you know what, Gary, I don't think at this stage they're capable of it.
Martin is a leader of stagnation and managed decline. So that's what you're going to get. And there's going to be a tone of this is simply the inevitable facts of reality. And so there can be no change. There can be no rejuvenation or renewal of it. But I think I can kind of tell what the pushback would be on this if you're in Fianna Fáil or in Martin's camp. There's no point having an early election or worrying about this because the only conceivable government which can form is the coalition at current polling levels.
Yeah.
And the problem, I think, there is that sometimes numbers will surprise you and it turns out what you thought was viable is not and vice versa. But even if it is a case where the coalition has to be removed or has to be restored, there can be very big differences in that. For instance, Michael, Fianna Fáil are now down at 16%. The independents are at 17%.
Yeah.
A situation in which Fine Gael is the largest party and begins negotiations and says, now, honestly, we'd love to go back in with you and we will. But we do want to just make you aware that theoretically, now it'd be very messy and we don't want to do it, but theoretically there are enough independents that if we wanted to go just full mercenary on this, we could probably supplant you. That's a very different negotiation from you are our only possible partner. And people would say you'd never get that many independents together, it'd be incredibly messy.
Although there's a decent chance the next time that the very large majority of the independents will be probably organised into two voting blocks and will actually make it easier to negotiate.
Well, that's the thing. All you need to be able to do is during the negotiations apply pressure to Fianna Fáil that, well, listen, we could go with other people. And suddenly you aren't quite getting the things you thought you would get. And yes, you're in coalition, but you're kind of the minor party. Very much so.
But that's the point, Gary. So what if there's going to be the same coalition? For Fianna Fáil, the question is not who are they going to be in coalition. The Fianna Fáil is the question of how many seats are they going to get? Do they get more seats by going now or do they get more seats by waiting? I don't see how looking like potentially putting themselves at risk of looking like double gobshites is going to be a benefit for them when it comes to adding up the Dáil seats. And at an individual level, Gary, does it matter to you if you're a guy with a little bit of a majority, but a reasonable vote, but, you know, a swing hard one way or the other would see you unseated? What do you care about the next coalition? You've lost your job. You're not in the coalition. You want the thing that you think is going to be best for the national Fianna Fáil vote, for your vote, and after that, the coalition can organise itself.
So here's the thing, though. Martin will never get behind a vote not to elect Harris.
No.
But here is where it becomes a problem. A lot of the independents have said they will not vote for Harris as Taoiseach. Now, the last government, the Taoiseach was appointed by 87 votes. That involved a number of independents. So far, I've only heard of two independents, Mark McSherry and Joe McHugh, who have said that they are likely to support Harris. if they cannot build more independence, you create this problem for the Fianna Fáilers. All you would need is one or two Fianna Fáilers to vote against Harris for that vote to fail, which means that the vote of every Fianna Fáil TD who voted for Harris is important.
Yes.
And which means, on the doorsteps, should that happen and you go into an election, some people, let's say Michael, someone like Sinn Féin, might go to your constituency and say, well, you know, if he hadn't voted for Harris, Harris wouldn't have got in.
Exactly.
It's entirely possible that this vote passes 81 or 82. So you move a couple of Fianna Fáilers that, you know, Harris just doesn't get in. Now, there are rumours, there are mentions, very faint, very vague, very unreliable, that a couple of Fianna Fáilers may do this regardless of what Martin decides. Now, that is a really bad scenario for Fianna Fáil, because if the party goes one way and takes the hit for doing it, but Martin can't control his people, and the vote fails anyway, well then every Fianna Fáiler who voted for it is going to look like a fucking gobshite.
Yup.
So
double gobshite.
You know, the question, would you rather be left holding the bag or holding the knife? And in pretty much all of those circumstances, I'll take the knife.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say the baby.
So here's the thing. We've seen Fianna Fáil TDs work themselves up. This constant kind of, you know, we'll do this, we'll take out Martin, we'll do whatever. And they never do it. So at this point, frankly, Michael, I think they'll fall in line. And I think they'll just do the vote. The problem is that, you know, 95% of them can fall in line. One or two of them can decide to go against it. And inadvertently, they topple the government.
You see, that to me, and we'll finish. I mean, that to me is the lovely conundrum here. First of all, I think, yeah, you're right. I think the vast majority of them will have absolutely no desire to do anything except what they're told to do. But the problem is, if there happened to be three, just, it's potentially, that might be enough, three cranky, fuck it, I'm sick of it, and I don't care. You know that, we mentioned before that scene from, what the hell is it, News? It's a network, where the character leans out the window and shouts out, I'm mad as hell and I'm not taking it anymore. If you have three, four independent-minded, Fianna Fáil-minded TDs who lean out the window, I'm mad as hell and I'm not taking it anymore. They will be for, and all the rest, they will bring the government down. There will be an election. All the rest of them will then be the double gobshites who voted for Harris and still ended up having to go to the country. And this time, essentially, on a defend the government ticket, which is going to be a defend Harris ticket, the man they voted against, a confidence vote against him because of his incompetence. But the other three, Gary, the other three or four, will be heroes of the party, and I would predict will be elected with a substantially increased majority. The numbers, because they're so tight. So then you have to decide, what is the greater risk? What is the greater risk to me? And what is the greater risk to the party?
I have already heard from multiple people that they have been canvassed by Fianna Fáil election candidates, local election candidates, some of whom are sitting councillors.
Yeah.
And any time that they have pushed back and just said, I'm not going to vote for Fianna Fáil. I'm not going to vote for the government. I'm not going to vote for Martin. Every one of those people has just immediately distanced themselves from headquarters. It's always been headquarters. It's just, that's it. That's headquarters. We're not into that sort of thing down here.
But the problem is that you can only do that so long and so often. And they're coming to the end of that road. If they haven't, in fact, come to the end of that road.
So you have people on 16%. You fall below 15%, weird stuff's going to start happening. People who have had very, very safe seats are now no longer going to have those seats. And that's already going to happen to an extent if things go badly. And someone just realises, you look at the Sinn Féin vote, you look at the independent vote, and you kind of go, if I vote against Harris, even if he gets through, I'm in a much better position than I was the other day. And if Martin, if I lose the whip, if whatever happens, fuck it. Because I will keep my seat, and I wouldn't have kept my seat without it. And also, the local Fianna Fáil party, Michael, might surprise you, a lot of the Cumans, not terribly fond of the idea of voting in Harris.
Just to contextualise, Gary, before we close, just here's a number and a reminder for those lads out there. Now, it was an unusual situation with transfers, admittedly, but In 2011, you were saying 15%. Fianna Fáil got 17.4% of the vote, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is 1.4% more than they're getting in the polling now. They got 20 seats. 20 seats, Gary. That's a lot of people unemployed.
That is a lot of people unemployed. But the problem, Michael, is that that's a lot of people who don't need to be unemployed.
Don't need.
Who could perhaps make some sort of dramatic movement and take it back.
Guarantee their employment. Guarantee possibly as well the future of their party. But
One of the interesting things that I found about this, I've heard mention of it, like quiet kind of, maybe this person will do this. Maybe this person will do this.
Yes.
And whenever I've asked around, and I've said, is there talk about this in the party? Is anyone talking about it? What I've got is, I'm not hearing a lot about it. Which is weird, because gossip spreads through political parties like wildfire.
Yes.
But if you were going to do this, you wouldn't want it to come out before the vote.
you want it to be an ambush.
There is that sort of, it's quiet. Maybe too quiet.
Yeah, it's very quiet out there tonight.
You would expect, and this is such an obvious thing, that you would expect discussion of it, even if it just died immediately. But instead, you've just got nothing. I mean, you're like, that's interesting. There are some people who should be talking who are absolutely not saying anything.
This is, Sherlock Holmes and the dog that didn't bark at night.
So I think that's the real problem here. The real problem is that enough of Fianna Fáil breaks away that they get the benefit rather than the party gets the benefit. That, I think, is the problem that they should be considering now. But then again, I think, and this is only my personal view of it, Michael, I think there is a real question about the leadership of Fianna Fáil and whether or not Fianna Fáil is being led for the benefit of Fianna Fáil or for the benefit of the people in those positions. Like, is it for the party or is it for headquarters? And I would say a lot of the decisions have been for headquarters.
If by headquarters, I think headquarters is a proxy word for a party, that, Gary, which increasingly feels like a one-man band. However, we shall see if events eventuate over the week. We may come back with some more exciting and concrete news on Sunday. But for the time being, we've put that out into the universe and we shall see what comes back.
Oh, that vote, I think, is... The vote is Monday, is it? It's the 9th, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Could be Tuesday. But it's early next week anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll find out then. Going on past behaviour, Michael, they'll do nothing. They'll take it. And then they'll complain of their slow, inevitable dwindling rather than actually attempt to do anything.
Death by desanguation.
Death by apathy.
Death by apathy, yeah. Death by desire not to do anything at all. We shall be back on Sunday, and who knows, there may have been exciting turns. But until then, goodbye.
All the best.